Well, I have had a very interesting week this week. It is so good to be here in the sanctuary. If it were not for the Lord, I think I'd be somewhat traumatized by the week. I don't know how many of you read the article in the paper about the man on Galaxy. You didn't read it? This was on the front page. Yeah. This was our neighborhood. It was seven houses across the street and down from us where this man broke into the house and tied up two women and do you remember it? Raise your hands now. Okay. Just because it's in my hood, you didn't recognize it. It's so funny. The other day we were riding home from church, and Vanessa, our granddaughter, was in the back seat with us, and she's living with us now. And she said, "I just love this neighborhood. It's always so quiet, and it's so this is it." And I would say, "Oh, yes, in the 15 years we've been here, nothing has ever happened that was ever to-do-do." The very next day, this whole thing happened. This man broke into the house seven doors across the street and down from us and tied up these two women. My brain is not functioning as well as it should today. And set the house on fire. And, but fortunately, the one woman was able to loosen whatever he put on her left wrist and reach a phone, and the police were out there in no time at all, and they were able to capture him. Now, of course, all this happened while Chuck was gone. 4 something in the morning. All this, you know, 4 and 10 in the morning, and then I can't remember all the details now. But I just said, this is it. You cannot go away anymore. I just, you know. So it's especially good to be here. There is such a sense of peace when I come into the sanctuary here. How many of you experience that? You do. There's just something that takes us out of all those cares and worries and problems and heartaches and everything else and just kind of settles our hearts and minds. I love the lesson this week. I've really enjoyed studying about Lydia. I think I've learned more about her, not that I'm going to share a lot more about her today, but just I loved the kind of woman she was. Her name, Lydia, does anybody know what it means? Piety. I looked it up. Sometimes it's just fun. Piety. And she was a wonderful woman after God's own heart. I wanted to tell you one other thing. When I'm in a crisis like I was in, all alone at home and all this happening in the neighborhood, one of the things the Lord has taught me to do when I'm feeling kind of ill at ease in the house, or it seems too big and I'm too lonely and the burglars are trying to get in. Have you ever? I found that if I start quoting scriptures or even sing a song, if nobody else is there, nobody cares about my voice, and I can just sing a song to him and start praising him, always I have peace and quietness and usually can fall asleep. And I just wanted to pass along for some of you who are alone or living alone, and sometimes these things happen and you're sensing this. But this week's study takes place in Philippi, which was the chief city of what province? Macedonia. Good students. My Hebrew teacher should say Mitzion, which means, you know, very good. Okay. And you needed to hear that this morning. In Acts 16:9, you read about Paul's vision. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." Being assured the Lord had called Paul and Silas to go to preach the gospel, they set sail for Philippi. And I sort of pictured this in my mind this week. I've been in Philippi, and Carolyn was reminding me that, was it in Philippi that she and I sat on a bench there, and we decided to do a Lydia thing, and we prayed together. She was going through a really painful, very painful time of her life, and we just sat and agreed in prayer. The rest of the tour group went on, and we were just in a place where we could, and God answered those prayers. She told me to tell you that this morning. God answered those prayers. So wherever you are, if you're in Philippi or if you're in Calvary Chapel or if you're downtown Huntington Beach or wherever, just stop. If you feel that nudging and urging from the Lord, sit down for a minute if you're in a mall and just kind of just call out to him within your heart and ask him to meet your deepest need. Oh, what needless pain we often bear. Oh, what burdens we carry, and oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not what? Everything. A few things? Everything. To whom? In what? In prayer. Carry everything to God in prayer. I love that song, and we should be obedient to it. And we read in verse 13 of Acts 16 here, and on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. This, as you probably already know, was a legal meeting place for Jews when there was no synagogue. Now, how many of you already knew that? Or you picked it up from the lesson? Try to remember it. It's kind of an interesting fact that they could go out by a riverside, and if they had a quorum of women, I think they had to have 10 together there, they could, the women would go there and sit and pray. And Paul said, we sat down and spoke to the women which resorted, gathered there to pray. About 2 years ago, we were in Philippi on the footsteps of Tura, and I told you that Carolyn and I just went apart, and we sort of did what those women did. And as I said, she was going through a heavy crisis, and how God answered her prayer, and there's a great victory, and she's going to give her full testimony someday. She told me I could give it, and using even names this morning, but I didn't feel like I wanted to do that. That's hers to give, and I'm anxious for her to give it again as much as possible, because it's such a rich encouragement to you, especially those of you who are struggling in a marriage. In the next two verses, Acts 16, 14, and 15, we find the setting of this in Acts 12 and 13, and on the Sabbath, verse 13, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. I like that word wont, you know, whatever it means, to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. As I read this about Lydia, I thought, I want to be like a Lydia. Did you have that feeling? I want to be that kind of person that God can use in these ways. And she could be trusted to go to invite these men into her home. She had a good reputation in the city. But she became the first convert to Christianity in Europe. I mentioned that. I want you to remember that. Because I don't know, somehow I think the first convert would be a man, wouldn't you? But for some reason, God chose a woman to be the first convert in to Christianity in Europe. And this was the first missionary outreach in Europe. And I need prayer. I'm sorry. I'm having a problem. Just bow your heads and pray for me, will you? Okay, I think I'm going to be okay. After doing your homework and being in your discussion groups, you've become well acquainted with Lydia. She was a businesswoman, a seller of purple. That means purple dye. She was a Gentile. In verse 14, we read, she worshiped God. We really, without really knowing him through being born again, I find that so fascinating. She didn't really know about Jesus, apparently, but she worshiped God. And I was thinking how negligent we can be in worshiping God. And my first point this morning is, like Lydia, we need to be worshipers of God. Not a day should go by that we don't take time to worship him, to acknowledge him, to pour out our praises to him. You know, it doesn't have to be hours. It can be moments. You that have to go to work at certain times of the day in the car. Take a few minutes if you don't have time before you leave the house. Try to find a verse for the day or a scripture for the day. Keep a devotional handy to pick up. Just be a worshiper of God. I want to be, like Lydia, a real worshiper of God. Her heart, the Lord opened. So she listened and attended unto the things which Paul spoke about. She responded. We can be a worshiper, but are we a responder? Are we reading the word to find out what God wants to say to our heart? And are we listening and responding and obeying the word of God? Or have the things of God become so familiar to us that they're kind of ho-hum? Oh, yeah, I've known that since I was a little kid. Or, oh, yeah, those scriptures or whatever. Don't ever, ever, ever let things of God become ordinary or you become so used to them that they lose that supernatural something about them. I will say sometimes in prayer to the Lord, oh, Lord, please, just again, let your spirit work in my heart to just cause me to respond with such excitement and joy and wonder. I think wonder is one of the greatest words concerning the word of God. Always be filled with the awesome wonder of what God has done and is doing and continues to do and wants to do in each one of our lives. The Christian walk should never be boring and dull and dismal. It should be exciting. And it is as we keep in tune with Him, as we keep worshiping, as we keep praising. I think worship so draws us into that recognition of Him, that something goes with us through the day. If all you have time for in the morning is to say, Lord, I'm aware of your presence. I want you to know I love you and I want to serve you. Please be with me every step. It's enough to start setting your heart on fire for the day. We should not go through a day without recognizing Him and just really committing our lives afresh. If we feel like we've failed, we need to confess our sin and don't dredge up sin. Sometimes we think, well, I can't. I remember our little kids in family circle. We'd be praying and one would say, Lord, I'm sorry I was mean to my friend next door or something. And then all the rest of the kids had to dredge up some sin. Don't do that. Don't let the Holy Spirit just reveal to you anything. Maybe you've been cross or maybe you've been cold or, excuse me, indifferent or anything, then just say, Lord, show me anything that's on your heart that I need to confess. And if nothing comes into your heart, then move on to the next step. But do I listen and respond to the word of the Lord? Or have the things of God become so familiar to us that they don't have the impact on our hearts and on our love that they once had? And today, when you go home, just kind of examine your heart. It's a good idea. You know, people go to the doctors to have their heart examined. I think we need to go before God and just say, show me anything that grieves your heart. And He will. He's faithful. And if nothing, don't, as I said, don't dredge it up. When I hear or read John 3:16, is there still a response of love and gratitude to God in my heart for sending His Son? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. As I've said many times, I wouldn't want to give my sons for anybody's salvation. I mean, that's cruel maybe sounding, but I wouldn't willingly want to do it. But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And gratitude for God for sending His Savior. I think every day we should thank Him one way or another. It just takes a moment to say, thank you, Lord. I remember Dr. Redpath up here teaching us that song, thank you, God, for sending Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you came. Holy Spirit, won't you teach me more about His lovely name? Isn't that beautiful? And there is a song, and you don't want me to sing it, I can promise you that. And also, we sing, "Open my eyes, Lord, I want to see Jesus." To reach out and touch him and say what? Say what?
I love him.
Say what?
I love
that I love him. Oh, now close your eyes right now and quietly where you are. Just tell him you love him, will you? Just bow your heads for a minute. Lydia worshiped God, and her heart was opened by the Lord. I love that phrase. And she became influential. Not was she baptized, but all her, what was baptized? Her household. Can you imagine the influence she had in her home that her whole household was baptized? Is your whole household walking with Jesus? You may not be able to say much, but you can influence by prayer and through prayer. And I want to encourage you this morning. Some of you that have husbands that don't know Jesus, don't give up. Keep praying. Keep believing. Keep trusting God. Some of you that have husbands that have accepted Christ but aren't walking closely, they don't care that much about the Word. They don't get into it that often. Don't give up. Keep praying. Keep trusting God. He doesn't want us to give up and say, well, it's hopeless. He's never going to do anything, and that's that. So goodbye, fella. You know, he wants us to keep on keeping on. No matter what the enemy tries to throw across your path or what the flesh tries to say to you, trust God to keep doing a work. And you yourself, be influential. Not only was she baptized, but all her household. She had such a concern for her household, and we need each one of us to have concern for our household. As a businesswoman, she could have been more concerned about what effect the radical step might have on her customers. If they knew she was a Jesus follower, what would happen to her business? And sometimes some of the women that have businesses don't want to let people know that they're born again believers because they think, ooh, they might not come back or they might not patronize again. Oh, please, let us just open our hearts to be that woman of God wherever we are and give that witness. The world needs it. We might be rejected and we might be giggled about behind our backs. We don't know. But think of Jesus. What did he suffer for us? And it doesn't take long to give a witness. I know I was working in a market in Tucson, Arizona, and I wasn't going to let anybody know I was a pastor's wife because they'd probably look at me kind of like, oh, brother, we better behave ourselves around her. And I wanted him to be natural. But God opened up. Just during in the lunchroom, we had talked, and somebody said, I heard you're a pastor's wife. Yeah, I am. And they said, well, what's that like? Boy, what an opportunity. I've always loved it, so I can't. But I had a chance to say, and they said, well, how did you become that? And I said, well, actually, da-da-da-da-da. And I was able to give a witness and say, you know, I was da-da-da, and this is how I met him. We, you know, just things of the Lord, how God brought us together, and he was going to be a pastor. It's amazing that people don't turn you off as much as you think they're going to when you tell them about Jesus. And if they do, rejection certainly was part of his walk. But we are so negative about rejection today. Nobody likes it. I don't want it any more than anybody else. But he was rejected for us. And I think we have to be willing to be rejected, to give that witness. She wasn't only baptized herself, but her whole household. As a businesswoman, as I said, she could have been more concerned about what effect this radical step might have on her customers. Today, sometimes, remember, we can't always influence in words, but we can influence in prayer. I think prayer is our greatest resource of influence. If we're backing up any witness by praying, I try when I'm meeting somebody that I know doesn't know the Lord, I try to pray before I go to be with that person that God will open a door. Now, I do have an advantage because being a pastor's wife, they expect me to be spiritual and they probably expect me to say something. But when I worked over here at May Company 1 year to, is it still there? It's Robinson's May. I have not literally been to the mall for over 2 years. I don't know why. I mean, you could probably tell I'm wearing the same thing all the time. I just can't shop anymore. I just can hardly stand the thought of it. And boy, is that a radical change right there. But I had such a great chance working at May Company because the gals, somehow people would come in and go, Kay, what are you doing here? And how come you're not blah, blah, blah? And when they found out I was a pastor's wife, it just gave me a wonderful open door. And it really kept me behaving myself, too, because I wanted to be. Don't you want to be that witness? I do. I really don't want to stumble anybody, and I want to be that witness that God has called me to be. Sometimes we can't influence in words. They won't listen, but we can influence in prayer. And I just pray this morning, if you've got a husband that will not listen, and you tried and tried and tried, just begin in a more fervent way than ever praying for him. God has ways that we know not of. She was also faithful. I love this about her. I was thinking of Olga Robertson last week when she, was it last week she spoke to us? When, 2 weeks ago when she spoke to us, that Olga was so trustworthy that she could be in that prison ministering to all those men without any scandal, without anything happening that would ever bring ill repute on her Christian walk. God knew he could trust that woman. And every one of us need to be women that God can trust no matter who's around us. No matter whether it's the cutest guy on the block for you young ones or whatever, that God can trust you as a married woman and even as a single one to live a morally pure life. And I think that one of the weaknesses in the church today, I'm not talking about our church specifically at all, but in the church, is there are not enough people committed morally. We find out things, we go, how could they, knowing the Lord as they do, get involved in a mess like that? And we as women of God, and especially in Joyful Life, I just plead with every one of you today, if there's anybody that's dazzling you, you're a married woman and somebody out there, I just ask in the name of Jesus that you commit that to the Lord and you forsake it and run if you have to. Do whatever to get away from it. Satan knows who to send across your path at any given time to weaken you. And he will do anything he can to weaken your testimony, to weaken your walk, to make you just kind of neutral about things spiritually, rather than you being those godly, on-fire women that we need to be in these last days. I heard on the news last night, and I probably won't get this right, and I thought I brought the note out, but I don't think I did, that there's supposed to be a geo-something hit the church, hit our planet today? This weekend, yeah, this weekend, that's right. Not today, just... Today and in 2 weeks, it's going to do it again. Oh, great. All right. It was in the paper and I was reading and I was going, oh no, not tomorrow, not during Joyful Life, Lord, please. Unless you're going to take us all home, I'm all for, whoa, rapture time, off to heaven. That would be, I would love that. Okay, but she was faithful. Lydia was faithful. I love that in women, a faithfulness in their marriage, in their singleness, in their commitment to the Lord, in their walk, that wherever they are at any given time, as Joy Dawson used to say, God can trust them to be there at any given time. And I love that. And she was so, I think, that she had a reputation in her neighborhood for being a woman of purity. And that's why she said, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide with me. She could say that because she was faithful. And she constrained, she urged and persuaded us. And if you counted me worthy, Chuck said that little phrase she was using, you know, she was quite a saleswoman at the beginning of the chapter. You know, she was very good at this. And because of that, he said that it was kind of a phrase. If you trust me, if you count me worthy, come on into my house. You know, and I thought, isn't that... if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. How many women would dare? I don't know what those men look like. I don't know if they were young and darling and just would make your heart beat faster or not. But she was a woman that could be trusted no matter what. No matter what. Isn't that a blessing to hear today? We see so much junk on TV. I mean, even changing channels, you run into it, about all this unfaithfulness and affairs and adultery and fornication and all this stuff constantly. And I feel so badly about the teenage girls and boys that allow this stuff to just be filling their mind and making up their value system. And then also it's so, for some of them, it's just so, you know, they just are so excited by it and all this. They're just messing up their lives. And often we get the dregs of it after the baby's been born and had to be given up or whatever and all this sort of thing. And I think, oh, Father, please bring a moral revolution in our land. And if it takes a sunspot or whatever, you know, yeah, I heard somebody start to applaud. Let's just ask the Lord to do it. Bow your heads a minute. Just say, Lord, bring a moral revolution in our land. Thank you, Father. I know that these women pray fervently before you. We're desiring so much, not only a moral revolution, but we want to live such a life that we can touch the lives of others, to encourage them to walk with you in purity and in integrity and with the right value system that's taken from the Word of God. Thank you, O Father, especially for these here on a Friday morning who are willing to set aside this morning for no other purpose than to be with other Christian women, hearing about you, loving you, sharing about you. Now bless us, we pray, as we finish up this morning. I think one of the most powerful witnesses a Christian woman can have is to be judged faithful to the Lord. I love it when somebody says to us, sometimes we'll have a person who doesn't know the Lord come around and they say, you know, I know somebody in your church. Boy, are they neat people. And, you know, it just makes you feel so good. They really, you know, I'm almost tempted to come to your church. They're such nice people. And then very, very seldomly, but once in a while, we hear, oh, they go to your church? I'm surprised because... And maybe it was a business deal that they weren't quite as honest as they should have been or something like that. And our heart is very, very grieved. And I just want to be that kind of witness that Lydia was, don't you? The kind that can be trusted any place at any time under any circumstance. I think, you know, I think one of the most powerful witnesses a Christian woman can make, as I said before, can have is to be judged faithful to the Lord no matter what the circumstances. Okay, recap. Lydia worshiped God. The Lord opened her heart so that she responded. And that's the desire for all of you, my desire for all of you. If you haven't opened your heart to the Lord, to say, hey, Lord, take all of my life. I'm not going to withhold anything from you at all. I want you to respond in that way. Maybe not in the sanctuary right now. Maybe in your heart you're saying that right now. Don't hold back one thing. If you're involved in anything that would grieve the heart of the Lord, give it up. Give it up. Eternity is by far more important than anything that you would hold on that would grieve the heart of the Lord. She was influential in her household. I long for every woman in this room to be influential in her household. I want to influence my grandchildren. I want to tell them about Jesus when I'm around them. Because they all have Christian parents, they always say, I know that, Grandma. I know that story already. And so they tell me back. And it's just, it's such a blessing to hear these little kids, you know, just, and their version of the stories are very, very interesting sometimes. And last of all, once more, she was faithful to the Lord. And if you forget the whole rest of the lesson, remember that Lydia was faithful to the Lord. Let's bow in prayer. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity this morning to just share, as just another woman to woman, what is on my heart, Lord. It wasn't some kind of a polished presentation or even as together as I would like for it to have been. But it isn't up to me to do the work. It's up to your Holy Spirit. So I pray he does a work in each one of our lives of drawing us ever closer to you, loving you more, and sharing with others the truth that you've brought to us. Thank you, Father, for these precious women. Guide them through the week, meet their deepest needs, and teach them more about you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, that's okay. Go ahead and lead us.
Jesus is faithful. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing Great is Thy Faithfulness.